All right, Bob. We go from one great guest to another. Dr. Daniel Zangrilli is live at the ballpark. Dan, we appreciate you joining us. You are on the Sullivan Super Service Fan Hotline, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Man, this is quite interesting here with Don Kelly and with this little hot streak. What are we to believe is real? Are they a winning team? Are they going to be a winning team moving forward under Don Kelly with a competent offense, do you believe? Or are we just seeing, you know, one of those stretches over the course of 162 games that we're bound to see with every team?
So, I mean, I'm inclined to believe the very last part that you said. You know, it's a hot stretch that they're on, because you just look up and down, and while the offense is improved, while I think Gonzalez and Horwitz are starting to hit their stride, you know, getting into the groove after missing so much time from injury, that obviously helps. It lengthens the lineup, but the caveat is what you basically said, ... with a competent offense. If they're able to score consistently, then yes, they are a winning club. If they are able to improve their offense, whether that's internally with, you know, Key Brian Hayes, assuming that they keep him, if he's sustaining what he's done over the last week to 10 days, I know Tommy Pham is likely to be dealt at the deadline, but up until that point, if he hits as he's been hitting since they fixed his vision issues, well, yeah, we're talking about basically four bats that have been added and parachuted into this offense to contribute to a club that obviously is pitching extremely well. I think it was a 3.27 ERA going into yesterday, Joe, since Don Kelly took over. That's the best in baseball. And when they score four runs, when they are a competent offense, Joe, they win twice as many games as they lose. It's not like they're a 500 club or, you know, five games or seven games over 500 when they score at least four runs, Joe. They are 24-12. They win twice as many games than they lose when they score four runs. So if they're a competent offense, if they can sustain the competencies, then yes, they are a winning club. Now, do I believe that right now, constructed currently, this lineup is able to do that? I don't. They're going to have to surprise me with the current iteration. They're going to have to add reinforcements, whether that's externally through trades, through internal promotions, and guys getting organically better. But as it sits here right now, I think it's a stretch where everybody's hitting the ball in a kind of consolidated period of time. I think they caught the New York Mets at the right time. This St. Louis series has really impressed me, being able to shut them out in back-to-back games, because they're basically, over the last couple of months, the best team in baseball, along with the Houston Astros. So these last couple of days have been particularly impressive, maybe even more so than what they did to the Mets over a three-game stretch. So I hope I answered that with the context that you were looking for.
So, Dan, I want to ask you about how important the straight deadline is for Ben Cherington specifically, because we don't know, you know, what his status is beyond this year. He's here right now, which gives him a big opportunity to make a splash. How important is it, and would he be motivated to do more because of his situation? In other words, I'm going to show you that I can bring in guys so that my tenure here in Pittsburgh doesn't have to end, if in fact it is, you know, 50-50 at this point.
No, I think it's his last act, and he's going to have an opportunity to prove one way or the other if he is the guy or he's not. I think the rhetoric over the last couple of weeks and his ability to be amenable to make deals, and I think throwing out those signals to other GMs through the media, through his radio shows the last couple of weeks, he certainly didn't shoot down his motivation in a long scrum with reporters on Saturday wanting to do business. That's a little bit different than it has been the five deadline press conferences that we've had with Ben Cherington leading up. He's always kind of kept the cards close to the vest. The narrative amongst other general managers that he is not tough to do business with, but he's somebody that is a tough nut to crack, and he's, I think, able and willing to do more than he has in past years. And sure, that's because of, I think, where the Pirates are at in being maybe closer than they are further away with their pitching. He's going to be more motivated, but I think I'd be hard-pressed and naive to think that his situation, the situation of the baseball operations department, they're not blind to that. So I think they probably look at this as a very important crossroads for not only the organization, but for their jobs as well. And how important is it, Bob? I think it is everything to them. And it is going to be either their last act or a seminal moment where they save their jobs and turn this franchise's fortunes around.
Dan Zangrilli on the Sullivan Super Service Fan Hotline limits the idea of leaving you out of this conversation, has Bob convulsing in tears.
Bob, please, don't cry if David Bednar or Dennis Santana get traded, because, Dan, I'm a little conflicted on this, because obviously Bednar, there's the idea that he was signed an extension, and he's pitched very well, and he does have another year of control. Is it in the Pirates' best interest, if they do want to fully contend and are committed to doing it and adding bats for next season, to trade Santana and Bednar, who are key portions of that bullpen?
They are, but when have the Pirates ever invested, or really many other clubs, invested long-term in the way of multiple years in their bullpen and for relievers? Most of what you see around not just the small market clubs and in Pittsburgh, but I think probably more than half of teams in baseball, Austin, you see two-year deals for relievers. Relievers are not commodities, and I hate to say that about a hometown kid who's been really, really good, and David Bednar and Dennis Santana. Always trade relievers, I think, is a pretty good small market mindset, because you could typically get a pretty good return on for what are really, and I hate to diminish their roles and their values, but they are otherwise pretty easy roles to fill. You can cobble together a bullpen. I mean, did you think Isaac Mattson would be pitching in leverage this year, Austin? Do you think that Caleb Ferguson would be one of the best left-handers on a one-year deal for $3 million in the game? Braxton Ashcraft, did you see him coming up as a starter and throwing wicked sliders and blowing everybody's doors off? No, you didn't, because, well, it's fairly easy to do. We're talking about, plug and play, get three outs, parachute in, and that's that. And you can do that not only on the cheap, but I think with relative ease. And it's such a volatile type of position as well, as we saw in the second half of last year, Holderman and Bednar, who were absolutely locked down in May of 24. You felt so good about those two guys. The games, if the Pirates had the lead in the seventh inning, they were as automatic a win could get. That thought process, that narrative, and those results were in a much different place in August of 2024, and they started in a shaky spot in April of 2025. So to throw money and then years instead of money into that, I think that's a fool's errand. So if somebody's willing to come in and overpay for that, you are open for business.
Dan, what are you hearing over there? I'm sure some people are talking about Connor Griffin, and how would it surprise any of us if he's at Altoona within a week? And once you're there, one call from AAA.
He is, I believe, and I haven't taken a deep dive into it, but just kind of perusing the headlines, Baseball America, if I'm not mistaken, has released their mid-season update for the top prospects in baseball. Connor Griffin is number two. So the narrative on him and the hoopla on him is only going to be gathering some serious steam here over the next few months, especially if he continues to perform. Can he be in Altoona by year's end? Looking beyond some of the bandbox numbers that he's playing in that ballpark down in Greensboro, I see no reason why the Pirates wouldn't want to push the envelope and get him a look-see. Maybe for a month or at least a couple of weeks in Altoona. I think it's wholly possible, assuming that he continues on the trajectory that he's on here through July, maybe even into the first week to 10 days of August. I see no reason for them to hold him back. They have shown that they're willing to be aggressive with their prospects and fast-track them, especially if they have elite abilities. And, yes, it's, I think, well within the realm of possibility that we would see Connor Griffin at least dabbling in Double A for Altoona this year.
Dan, I want to ask you about the debate we've been having, too, about the surplus of starting pitching, or at least promising pitching in the organization. I'm one of those who, like I think you, believes that you really can never have enough. I know what that means. But because it's perceived they have a surplus, could they be motivated to trade some of it to get the bats that they so desperately need? And if so, who would be most likely to go?
Well, so, yeah, perception of surplus and the realization of surplus, I think, are two very different things. And I'm not necessarily convinced that the Pirates have a surplus. I even used that exact term and word with Ben Cherington when he met with reporters on Saturday. And I said, do you have a surplus relative to the rest of the league? And he paused. He obviously feels good about it, but I think he stopped short of saying that they're just oozing with all this pitching depth and they can just fire this pitcher off for this hitter, this pitcher off for that hitter. They have to be obviously very judicious with it, because he then, I think a few questions later, circled back to the question that I asked and the point that I was trying to get him to make, and he said, well, you have pitching depth until you don't. Listen, they already dealt away Luis Ortiz and Quinn Priester, and you feel good about where you're at, and you think that, okay, you have an adequate amount right now on your roster, on your 40-man roster, to be a competitive club. Well, you might be two bad moves away from being in a not-so-deep spot, especially when you account for the unforeseen, which is basically injury attrition or lack of performance. You have to be able to plug and play and sustain that. You have to be able to tap in and bring up Mike Burrows. You have to be able to tap in and bring up Braxton Ashcraft. Do they have that ability right now to do that? If something happened this week where two guys either got hurt or started underperforming, I'm not sure. I think they're in an adequate spot, but they may be able to deal one or two arms. I would be more inclined, again, going back to Austin's point, to deal relievers than I would be pitchers that you would think are starters. I might be able to move off of one. Who is that? Burrows, Ashcraft, Falter, Keller. I really don't want to go down that road, but it could open up a number of possibilities when you free up some of that money. But he would be the last guy that I would want to trade in the names that I just gave you, Bob. But yes, you can trade one starter, perhaps two relievers, which I think is a healthy amount. You can't go off and move four arms. That would be just a silly, silly thing to do from where I sit.
All right, Dan, we'll leave you with this. Size up today's matchup, if you would. Going to get a sweep here?
Well, Sonny Gray, he's obviously really good. He's 8-2 with a .336 earned run average. If the Pirates play buttoned-up baseball as they did last night, as perfect a game as I think we've seen this team play all year long, especially defensively, it's probably going to take something along those lines, because Gray was brilliant, efficient, seven scoreless innings in a 5-0 win at Busch Stadium. He allowed just a couple of hits in four innings, so he's really had the Pirates' number. St. Louis has won each of his last four starts, so it's going to be tough. 2 out of 3 ain't bad, but I wouldn't put anything past this team right now. The way that they're going, they're clicking on all cylinders. They're getting guys out. St. Louis is going to have to figure out a way to score because, well, they haven't yet this series, and that's going to be what determines who scores probably 3 runs today will come out a winner.
Dan, you're a wonderful man. Bob thinks so, too. Enjoy
yes.
the game.
And I know Sonny Gray's going to be good. He had that 89-pitch complete game thing last week, which was amazing, right? That's never happened before.
No doubt. And Keller has thrown, obviously, the ball really well. He's gotten into the sixth inning, I think, in, what, like 8 straight starts? So it's going to be a really good game here today. And I'm going to be doing a lot of just work, watching along. And, you know, it's a wonderful office here to post up at.
On a beautiful day. For, yep.
Thank you, sir.
Bye now.
All right. See you, Dan. Yeah, finally some sun.
I'll tell you what, Bob. His post games are a must listen.
Yeah,
I've said it before, no matter where I am, I'm tuning in to Zangrilli's post game. There have been some legendary moments on that post game this year, haven't there, Limits? How about the several rungs of hell we were in earlier
this
season?
Yeah, that went below Satan.
That was legendary, Bob. But now we're in a little bit of a better place as they go for their sixth win in a row.
And they found a way to grab a pickaxe, a shovel, and dig even a deeper hole to a rung of hell that is far past Satan himself.
That was one of the biggest descriptions I've ever heard.
Where do you go once you get to Satan, Bob? There can't be much further.
If you go down further, you're in big, big trouble.
Limits, you hit him. Haven't you hit the bottom rung there?
I don't think there's anywhere else
to go. Yeah, there's nowhere else to go.
You're going to the core and the mantle of the earth.
Let's hear that again, because it's good not to be there right now.
They found a way to grab a pickaxe, a shovel, and dig even a deeper hole to a rung of hell that is far past Satan himself.
That's how emotional we all get about certain things that happen, and you know, some of those callers can bring it too, and they don't hold back on their emotions.
Well, I'll say this: I find this quite satisfying at the moment. It certainly doesn't make up for the disaster of a season it's been, but to sweep the Mets, the big market Mets, and the Cardinals, maybe especially, that feels good, Bob.
Yes.
Doesn't it?
Yeah, especially given the payrolls that specifically the Mets have and all the talent they have on that team. But as I said, even with their depth, they have challenges now, and I bet you they're going to be a buyer at the deadline, and they may be willing to give you a lot for something they need, because they do. One thing those teams have done, Mets, Yankees, Dodgers, even though they spend a lot and do all that, they still draft well. They always have prospects to trade away,
especially
it seems.
The Dodgers.
Yeah, and so if you are inclined to make deals, they can give you some people.
Limits, if you could sweep any team in all of baseball, which one gives you the most satisfaction? Cardinals?
Dodgers.
Reds.
Reds?
Yeah, Reds.
I don't like the Reds.
Interesting.
And it spans from those 13, 14, 15 teams.
Yeah.
Yasiel Puig trying to fight the whole team. Amir Garrett trying to fight the whole team. I've never liked Cincinnati.
I love that Amir Garrett thing.
Was it Yasiel Puig?
Well,
yeah, he was with them, right.
I thought it was Garrett who tried to.
There were
Garrett.
Two separate instances.
Yeah, Amir Garrett he was on the mound. He was obviously upset about something. He dashed right into their dugout.
He charged the dugout.
And it was 1-on-40 or whatever it was. It was unbelievable.
Incredible.
Yeah, that was wild.
Thank you, a limitless wonder.
I love you. I love you.
Like on trolls or whatever, people that just sit behind a computer in their mom's basement.
You idiot.
It was a joke.
Hold on. Let me put my wooden teeth in so you can understand me better.
And we're sitting here again. We're sitting here again talking about the same things.
Limits, I like the part where I said I was not questioning your intelligence, but your integrity. Can you put that back in there one of these days?
Yeah, I can do that. It just wasn't a part of the original one. That's why I
gave
it in
six
there.
Pack.
Neither was that. You change it every week.
Now you're insulting my intelligence.
No, I'm insulting your integrity. I do like that. Bob, it's time for the Limitless Express. Mitch Keller just struck out Mason Wynn with a man on second already. Mason Wynn's a hell of a player, is he not?
He pulled the string on that. He has 7 home runs for a shortstop, and he can play. He's got a rifle arm.
We also have, next to that, one of the greatest documentaries ever made, in my not-so-humble opinion, and that's the Dream Team documentary on that TV, Bob.
David Robinson.
He was an afterthought on the team. That's why it was the Dream Team.
Keller just walked a man. That's Burleson, who's been off to a good start. So
it's time for Mitch Keller to
out.
Put a foot down today and sweep a series. And even one run is too many today. So don't allow 2 runners in the first inning, Bob. And now get a double play. All-time strikeouts at PNC Park. Mitch Keller needs 1 to become the all-time leader. Did
Over
you know that?
Paul Mahalem.
Wow. Liriano, Cole, and Burnett. I did not know that.
Wow.
Neither did Limits.
No.
This guy's going to hit a 3.
That could be a double play.
Look at
Horwitz.
Spencer Horwitz.
Well, he got the force out. He couldn't make it. It's too weakly hit.
That was incorrigible, Bob. Scotty, this is where Scotty Pippen visits a nude beach. Look up to the other one when they were in Spain. There he is. How about that, Bob?
They all have clothes on. You said a nude beach?
I thought it was, but that defeats the purpose, I guess, if you do have clothes on.
You know, I always found that to be interesting, because at nude beaches, it seems like the people you want to have clothing off always wear it.
And wait, then you speak from experience,
yeah,
it sounds
say.
Like,
the ones,
Bob.
The ones that you want not to see are the ones who take the clothes off.
When did you visit a nude beach?
I'm just making an assumption.
Ron went to one. They shut it down after he left.
He brought some free and free light. He had a good time.
Very interesting, Bob. I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah,
Joe.
Bob, you. There's a story there somewhere.
There
maybe several
there
of
might
them.
Be,
years ago,
wow.
Bob.
Years ago, things changed.
All right.
Generally, you know what I mean.
Would you recommend going?
No,
for
I don't.
People that
I've
haven't
never
gone?
Been to
no, because,
one.
No, because you're going to only see the ones you don't want to see.
The minute Ron walked into it, the whole place was condemned. Limits, let's go.
All right. First up, fellas, the NHLPA.
Because of Ron's back hair, Bob, I think. That comes up once in a while.
A deal has been finalized to allow players to participate in the 2026 Winter Olympics. Sidney Crosby back in the Olympic Games.
Keller got out of a bases-loaded jam and scoreless bottom of the first. Sorry to interrupt. Yes, Sidney Crosby should be.
Yeah, and I think not only that, but I think it's very, very important for Sid, what was it called? The Four Nations.
Four Nations, right.
These international competitions are his lifeblood now for a competitor like that. And that's what's going to keep those juices flowing. And then he can come back here to Penguin Land and, well, basically suffer for months at a time. But those are really important for him now. So I love it. I love international hockey. I like that product way better than the NHL. I think it's a great thing. When it's obviously in the middle of a season, correct?
They're
taking like 3 weeks off.
In February, they'll take three
That's
weeks
fine.
Off. There won't be an All-Star game.
But it'll be high quality. All-Star games have run their course as far as I'm concerned. I just don't want to watch them anymore.
Do you think that's because we get so
They don't
many...
even play them anymore.
No, they've changed
in
everything.
In the NHL. Did they play a game in the NHL this year?
Oh, they had Four Nations instead.
Yeah, they didn't even have a game.
I'd much rather see no,
There's
Four
no
Nations.
Pro Bowl. The NBA game's a joke.
Yep.
Baseball's okay.
Baseball's All-Star game is the only true All-Star game, and it's been that way for years. But now that we get so much interleague play, like the Pirates are playing against Ohtani when he was with the Angels. The Pirates are playing against Aaron Judge every year.
No, but you know what I want to see, though? I love the home run hitting contest. Always have. And I want to see guys who should be in it be in it.
Ellie De La Cruz denied it.
Well, that's what I mean.
O'Neill Cruz was there?
No, Ellie De La Cruz.
Oh.
Said no.
I would
didn't want to do it.
I would hope O'Neill Cruz would do it.
He
I want to see guys.
What? I'm watching this
home
Dream
run derby.
Team documentary.
Home run derby. I like the
no,
home run derby.
I
want to see.
And if I was a team, I would tell my guy not to do it because it screws up your swing.
Oh, come on.
It has screwed up people's swing, Bob.
Say.
There's a jinx to it.
Remember Josh
There's no
Bell?
Jinx.
Remember Josh Bell did the derby?
All right,
ruined his whole season. Oh. Ruined his Pirate career.
It hasn't done that to. You know, a lot of other guys who've won the thing and gone on to have nice careers.
Big Dumper's
Alonso,
be in it.
Alonso's
is
been
Big
in
Dumper
it.
In it?
Big Dumper is in
he
it.
He is in it. He should be in it. I think Judge should be in it. I think Ohtani should be in it. I think all the guys who are up there with that pedigree should be in it.
Man, I wish they paid the money for Sonny Gray. I said that when St. Louis signed him to a
Do you
deal.
Like Horowitz in
money.
The leadoff spot?
Love it.
They don't have a leadoff hitter. That,
well,
that's
I thought they did
with
Cruz. He's
a high-on-base guy. I love it. And once Connor Griffin gets here, I want to see him as a one or a two.
That's old school right there. Sonny Gray has his buttons down to his third button. You see the chest hair and everything.
Yeah.
Him and Jared Jones.
Jared does it because he has a lot of that.
Man, that stinks what happened to Jared Jones.
Yeah, he could have been.
That really stinks.
Well, next year, mid-year, he'll be back, you hope so.
When is Oviedo coming back, Limits?
I don't know. I ask that question
I always
all the time.
Ask you this. How long is he going to be injured for?
He's on a rehab assignment.
I know that. It's the longest rehab assignment since Jury Rand left KDKA.
How much rehab did Jury
I don't mean
need?
To imply that Jury was in rehab. I mean to imply that that was the longest goodbye I've ever seen, Bob. You guys have had 18 specials for him on TV. When
we
Jury
take care
Rand
of
left.
Our own, you know.
Oh, my gosh. How many specials are going to be when Bob eventually retires at some point?
At least three years worth.
Yes. Bob, we might need half a decade worth of specials.
Bob, will you do
a
retirement tour like Kareem Abdul-Jabbar where people give you gifts in different parts of town?
No, I don't think I'm going to do that. I kind of stay away from stuff like that. I'm honored when people want to say they want to have a party or something. That's fine. I like that sort of stuff. But no, I'm not going to. Drag that out.
I don't know. I don't know if you're going to have a choice, Bob. People are going to do that for you.
I don't think you will. Will you perhaps retire to Fort Myers with Ron and become his good friend in retirement?
I don't think he'll allow that. He likes his peace and serenity down there. He's writing a book, I think, right? Is that what we came to the conclusion of yesterday?
He might be. I'm trying to put together clues on that. I'm sorry, Limits, for interrupting your segment.
Have you come to the conclusion that Bob and Ron are not good friends?
No.
I think Bob and Ron left on good terms. There were months at a time where Ron wouldn't talk to Bob, and it was awfully awkward in here. But I think they left on okay terms. I don't think it was ever the same after that, Bob. Would you
agree?
I don't
know. I don't hold that. Whatever happened, happened. I don't really care. I've always respected Ron as a writer and as someone who did this job. So
I know.
I have no...
Wonderful, man.
McCutcheon is going to get an extra base hit, perhaps. No.
Here's the greatest, basketball game ever played. In fact, they did a whole documentary just on this scrimmage. Are you aware of this, Bob?
Yes.
From the Dream Team?
Yes.
It was the college kids with Chris Webber, Bobby Hurley, Grant Hill. I mean, those are some pretty damn good players. They beat the Dream Team in a scrimmage, but then the next day they got blown out. Now, this part of it is where Magic was talking trash to Michael Jordan, and then Michael got ticked, and now you'll see the highlights, Bob, where he just lit him up. And then this was the turning point for the Dream Team when Bird and especially Magic had to cede control to Michael Jordan because he had taken over for them. And it took this basically fight on the court between Magic and Michael for Magic to say, you know what? You're right. It's your team. It's your league. And that's when the Dream Team really came together, Bob.
Even a couple of bank shots there by Michael Jordan.
Look at him. Watch. He's going to light up Magic right here. And it was just incredible. Next.
All right. The Penguins have signed a couple of guys. Forward Anthony Mantha and Raphael Harvey Pinard. They had signed one-year contracts. Defenseman Phil Kemp.
You know, I was
Kemp.
Hoping they were going to sign Pinard, Bob. That was one of my big. I have a big board at home of Penguins hopefuls and Anthony Pillard. What's his name? Harvey Pinard.
Harvey Pinard. Raphael Harvey Pinard. Yeah. I had Phil Kemp on my big board.
They call him Penny.
I will say this.
Penny in the locker room. Did you know that?
Yes.
I think it would have been a good signing. Now he's been injury plagued, but he is capable of hitting 20 home runs if
Surprise
he's healthy.
The Steelers
he's a big guy too.
He's 20 home runs.
Sign him.
He's hitting 20 home runs.
We're all specializing in signing 30-year-old
has-beens. This is what happens when I watch you and two screens, and I don't know.
I know.
Anthony
Mantha. Bob, he's coming off a torn-up knee.
I know that, but for $2.5 million, I think it's worth it. He's a big guy, 6'5".
He's a second-round draft pick waiting to happen at the trade deadline.
Nick Gonzalez.
Oh, my God.
Nick Gonzalez.
Oh, what a catch. Who is that?
Fermin.
Juan Soto wouldn't catch that, though, in right.
I'll tell you what about Gonzalez.
That was a two-run double.
Gonzalez has been hitting the ball hard, even when he's out. Yesterday,
he's unbelievable
two-line drives,
right now, Bob.
Yeah, he is. He's really turning out to be
I'm
the kind of guy who's taken seventh
mind.
Overall.
He's going to be an 8 to 10 year starter in Major League Baseball.
That reflects well on Ben Charrington, doesn't it, Limits?
It does, but you know what does not reflect
well
on Ben Charrington?
I didn't ask you anything else but a yes or no question on that.
Yes, and now I am adding more onto it.
Bob, you know what else happened on the Dream Team? Look to your left. They went into Spain, and John Stockton got off the team bus because it was stuck, and nobody recognized him. He was allowed to walk through the streets of Barcelona unrecognized. The only guy on the team who could make that claim.
There's a lot to like about that situation where you don't have to be bothered. Every time you turn around, there's somebody wanting something from you.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Limits can no longer live a life of obscurity. Every time he goes out, people want his autograph. They recognize him. He's being bothered like he's Mick Jagger.
No,
is that right?
not being bothered at all. Nobody's asking for my autograph.
There are hordes of women after you, they say, as soon as you leave the station.
Mostly a
this
lot
is
of,
like the Beatles, Bob.
Mostly a lot of guys that'll see me and they'll go, wait, are you City Limits? Or they'll say, are you Austin? Or they'll say, you're that guy from the radio. And I just go, yeah. And then I talk to him for a couple
Bob,
minutes.
He's famous right now.
He is. People know all about him. And they like his hair. And you'll find that that's going to be very nice when you're going out there.
I think it's great.
It is. So never lose sight of that.
Never
I don't
lose
at all.
Sight of that, Limits. You're a lucky man.
My friends, they don't make fun of me for it. But they have, in our group chat, they'll say, someone else recognized Austin again, and they'll put like laughing emojis in it. I think it's incredible. I love it.
That's why during these intermissions, you come in here and intentionally get yourself on the camera.
Yes. Yeah. That's why.
Bob, do you believe he does
know
that?
What I look like?
Exactly.
They need to know, I guess.
That's the only reason. There's no way. There's
it's not like
no
my
way.
Voice isn't just
he has
so
a hidden agenda with that. He does
Listen,
have a hidden agenda.
There's
that.
No way people would know what Limits looked like when he's out on the town.
That's other what I always think.
Other than he walks in here and during the breaks, because we watch it and people comment on it on YouTube, and intentionally stands right in front of this camera, right?
He does it. Yesterday, though, I called him in for something, so I'm not going to.
Yes.
But he could have walked over to you instead of standing over here right in front of the camera.
He also moves the camera to make sure it's his best side.
Or
did you know that?
Maybe they see me on Twitter and they see my profile picture and what I look like.
I doubt it. Next.
Do you have a dating app? Do you have people swiping your direction?
People swiping my direction?
Yeah.
I don't think so, Bob.
Have you used a dating app, Limits?
If you've ever met me, you know that I am not the dating app type of person.
Bob, I used a dating app when they first came out, at least a dating website, and had a horrible experience. Would you like to hear about it?
Yes, now that intrigues me.
It was called Match.com.
Yeah, way back when, I remember that.
Around 2000 or so. And I met a woman from Monroeville, and we went out and saw the movie Legally Blonde in the theater in Monroeville.
Was she blonde?
No. I've told this story before.
Was she legal?
Mm. Yes, Bob.
Okay.
She was good, Bob.
My age. And then suddenly, we after Legally Blonde, we go back to her apartment. I'm like, this is unbelievable. Are you kidding me? The first date?
Oh, however, how about the savvy old news?
However,
Savio knew he misread this situation.
Bob, what do you think was going on? Did she have all kind of like Cabbage Patch Kids in her house?
Worse, she had a live iguana that was the size of Malzi's cranium, and she
what?
It wasn't in a cage. I'm like, I can't be here. I can't relax. Can you put it away? She's like, no, he lives out in the open here. I'm like, well, then
like
I'm leaving
dog.
Out.
Can you
the
imagine?
Open. Does yeah, the, I can imagine. I lived it.
Does the iguana sleep with her in bed at night?
Okay, this has gone off the rails,
it
Bob.
Has.
Oh, like it Next. Hasn't already?
Yeah.
No, I'm more
because Bob
I'm curious about the iguana.
I didn't do anything.
Yes,
you're the
you
one
did.
Talking about iguanas in a
I
blind date
room. I'm telling you an innocent
room.
Story about a blind date because we're asking Limits if he's ever going to go on one. Like a date.
Yes, I'm very aware. And you know what? I'm not going to touch that subject. I'm going to keep my personal life personal.
You can't do that, Limits. Our
Here's
lives are out in the open
some
here.
I can.
Here's
the
an
show,
interesting thing.
No, you can't.
Some things
I'm
going to
dovetail
no,
off
who
this.
Who are you, Aaron Rodgers, not telling us who you married? We bring our lives to the air here.
We still don't
That's
know.
That's what we do.
So I have to, this is according to ML Football.
Oh, ML
Did
Football.
Did you see this?
ML
this was a couple
of
years ago.
A
don't read that, Bob.
Okay.
I sent him something from ML Football
what was
today,
it?
And it was the wrong thing.
ML Football's been
What does it say?
Throwing all kind of stuff
no,
out there.
I'm not surprised by this because I've heard this before, but it's the BYU football team.
BYU?
BYU, they don't allow its players to have sex. It's an honor code prohibiting premarital sex. So players have been suspended at kickoff. Then my question would be, how would you know? Like, how do you know that if you're someone who...
What a question.
What is happening here?
I'm just saying.
I don't know.
We have to get Chris. We have to call Chris Hogan and ask him about that.
How do you know if a player breaks curfew? The same thing. You know if you don't.
You can know if someone's coming in and you have someone waiting for them coming into the building or wherever they're staying. How would you know that? Just asking. I'm curious.
I don't know.
Do they have, like, night watchmen outside the dorms?
Yeah, but even then, if someone leaves somewhere, what are you assuming something happened? Well, you wouldn't know for sure.
What if you go off campus?
Did you ever go on a blind date before, Bob, before you got married?
No, never did. I did it the proper way, I think, which you meet them at wherever you meet them, and you engage in conversation and learn a little bit. My wife, though, I actually was part of a Hawaiian Tropic contest judge, and she was a contestant. And so she got my vote. That day and for the rest
what
of her life.
What was the contest
life.
Wow. about?
Hawaiian Tropic.
Meaning?
It's a suntan lotion.
Oh. So.
It's just.
Oh, forget
they,
it.
They
put on suntan lotion and you judge them or what? What happened?
Well, it's a competition about everything. It's like a Miss America contest. Almost.
Oh, okay.
You know, one of those kind of things
yeah.
where you get to know them, you see them.
Wow.
And I was a judge.
How about that, Limits?
Bob, a real winner in that situation.
I was a real
a
winner in that
judge.
Situation,
yeah.
yes.
He outkicked his coverage.
I outkicked my coverage. I ask her that every day. Why did you marry me?
A texter saying on the text line that Bob is correct, that you have to tell on yourself.
So it's an honor code.
An
is
honor
that what
code.
It is?
Yeah.
That's like having the ball move on the green, Joe, and you have to call it on yourself.
Yeah, something tells me they don't have a high percentage of...
honorable people?
Yeah, actually, if you want to call that. I don't know.
I don't know if that's a rule that
that's ridiculous.
I mean, come on. That doesn't make sense.
You think Jim McMahon passed that rule? When he was at BYU?
Was that a recent add to their code of honor?
We'd have to ask Hokie.
Yeah, Chris Hoke would know this.
Next.
All right. Oh, boy. Shedeur Sanders. Shedeur Sanders is being mentored by, guess who, Bob?
No, don't tell me Deshaun Watson.
Deshaun Watson, according to reports, is taking Shedeur Sanders under his wing.
Was Antonio Brown busy?
Was Le'Veon Bell unavailable? Was Myles Garrett too busy sitting in his 40
first
million?
If you're the head coach over there, don't you have to say, wait a minute, now we can't have this happening. Right? You have to intervene at some point?
You'd think, yeah.
Stefanski has a lot of issues. I didn't realize the coach who went through so much as he's gone through up there in Cleveland.
Is Deshaun Watson around? Does this mean
apparently
he's around the team?
He's rehabbing.
Owner came out and said, we swung and missed on Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, he's still under contract, though.
Won a playoff game more recently than this one, Bob.
Against who?
I forget.
This one.
Yeah, right.
But
next.
I mean, that's going to be interesting how this. Who do you think is going to be their starting quarterback, though, out of all of this?
Flacco.
I originally said Flacco, but I still think it's going to be Pickett.
I think Pickett will start a game against the Steelers this year.
Thank you,
maybe
Limits.
Even beat them. Oh, I have one update on Oviedo. He actually started yesterday.
Did he?
In the Florida Complex League. He faced six batters. He allowed two runs. It's his first live action since September 27th of 23.
Wow. All right.
He's also been dealing with a lat injury that's kept him out a little bit this year, too.
50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19, Peters Township. Fan Hotline, presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Sunny today with a high of Jay Reimersma. Yes, 85, Bob. A great day for you and Mulsey to
Jay
play
Reimersma.
Golf. Oh, yeah. Fan weather. All right, I'll go Xavier Grimble, if you like.
Thank you.
Fan weather brought to you by
Grimble with the reception.
Who caught? Look up their stats. Bob, who had more touchdowns for the Steelers, Jay Reimersma or Xavier Grimble?
I'm going to say Jay Reimersma.
So am I, and I remember one of them against the Ravens on an opening day, I believe.
Grimble had three.
Oh, no. It might be Grimble, Bob.
Reimersma had more.
Had three with the Steelers.
It's a tie, Bob.
It's a tie.
We're going to penalty kicks. And that brings up Eric Ebron, another 85. Who had more touchdowns, Ebron, Reimersma, or Grimble? I should say,
I'm going to say
did Ebron have more or less
Ebron
than those guys?
It has to be Ebron. If it's not Ebron,
I think Ebron only had two. I'm going to say he had less.
He wasn't here long
than Grimble or Reimersma.
Ebron was here for 2 years. He had six. He had five in 1 year. Five in his first year.
Didn't he have one against Dallas where they won the game, Bob? You remember that one?
I do.
I don't
Limits
remember.
Does.
Yeah, I don't remember.
Ben threw him a touchdown pass.